Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Pop Life Podcast people. Today is, I don't know why I said that shit like that. I'm bugging out. Today is, I have no idea what today
is. It's the 18th.
I have, yeah, it's good, because I was going to say 15th, but now I was like, that's just wrong. Happy belated Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Inca.
Thank you,
You know, happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Happy Mother's Day.
I sent out a bunch of mom texts on Sunday, including Naima's mom. She got it. Because, you know, she'd be checking on me to make sure I'm all right.
Yeah, I'll make sure. My mother is really
She'd be sending me little stuff on, you know, Naima's mom be sending me stuff via Instagram DM.
My mother is actually really proficient.
Yeah.
Instagram and text, emoji usage.
Yeah.
All of it.
She be sending me little clips. She's like, look at this. This is amazing. Little clips of stuff. And We got our own thing.
Yo, I be like, yo, who taught you to use all these emojis? Because she uses them correctly. Like, all of them. It's amazing. She works on Twitter. She be on Instagram. She's good at DM. She be finding stuff I didn't even see. Funny stuff. But she's, yeah, my mother, which I'm so thankful for. She is an adopted mom for so many of my friends, which I appreciate. But
We got our own little thing. But yeah, happy belated Mother's Day to all the people.
To blow your mind.
What's that?
Ivy turns 6 tomorrow.
Wow.
6 years? That's crazy. Damn.
Time goes so quickly.
I know. Damn.
Well, happy birthday, Ivy.
Ivy's
a Taurus.
She came on the last day of Taurus. She was like, I refuse this Gemini bullshit.
I'm not committing myself to that, to that lifestyle. That's wild. But I was gonna say, going back to Mother's Day for a second, I love seeing everybody post their mamas. Like that, what I love about Mother's Day and Father's Day is everybody posting their mamas and their grandmamas they dad, even though we kind of be lurking on Father's Day because some
y'all be.
But to that point, take some pictures of your kids with their moms.
Right.
Yeah. I notice I'm not in any of the pictures. I'm always taking the pictures. So
somebody calls it proof of mom. Like for mom actually be in the picture with the kids. Yeah.
There's like no proof of mom in the last year or so in this house. So
speaking of that, I saw a thing, because me and KMG, the friend of the show, we had a little thing talk about how young grandmothers are nowadays. Your grandmother 33, nigga. So I saw
making pot roast in 30 minutes.
Exactly. So I saw a thing on, I think it was on whatever, one of the social media platforms. I think it was Twitter or excuse me, either the gram or TikTok, but it was like the girl was like, guess how old I am? And she had her mom and her grandmother behind her. The girl looked to be 18-ish, 17-ish.
Right.
The mom, this was what they wrote on the thing. The mom was 31.
Jesus.
And the grandmother was 43. And they looked it. They almost like,
yeah, that's we talk about repeating cycles. God damn.
Because that means grandma had it when she was 12.
Right.
The mother when she was 12.
Well, you know, to that point, though, I was saying this on Twitter because somebody was posting the teen pregnancy statistics and how much they've gone down since Gen X was teenagers, and like I knew girls pregnant in middle school, and mad people had babies in high school.
Mad.
And now I feel like folks having babies in high school is like a shocking thing. Mad people had babies in high school. It was like a real, and a lot of people on Twitter were saying like they'd seen the same thing. So it's like, you know, yeah, grandmas might be in their 30s and 40s, but those are like our peers, kind of.
But also,
it's not so much that the women are having, the only reason our grandmothers were so old was because they spent 20 years having kids.
Exactly.
They had like 13, 14, 15.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they just kept having the motherfucker. So it's not her grandmother waited till she was older. It's just that your uncle is your parent is young enough to be your oldest uncle or aunt's child. That's actually you know what I mean?
Because grandpa constantly shot up the club. He wasn't right. Grandpa was
they needed somebody to shit. They needed somebody to tend the fields. They needed somebody to tend
the only way to say that.
Grandpa was not pulling out.
But ever. But it was because they needed somebody to tend the
fields
to keep that house. And then they
was a workforce.
Yeah. Seriously. Because I think about that. My grandmother had like she was one of 13 and my grandfather was the only child, which was super rare
back then. That was crazy. Siblings
who died as infants. But his first cousins, there's like 15 of them, you know what I mean? So it's like it wasn't that grandmas was older, they just had babies for a really long time.
So God bless all the grandmothers and mothers and aunties and godparents and you know, the play aunts, the play cousins, and all that shit.
Wait, speaking of mothers and grandmothers, before we jump in, I know you got to run a show, but I just finished Queen Charlotte this morning, and I just really feel like
You binged it, right? Because I saw you said you said
not
you
only did ham. I binge it, mom's in town. Well, she could be. I went to see mom at Eric's house yesterday.
Okay.
And I was on like episode 4 and I was determined to keep watching it. So I started it all the way over with her and watched through the first 4 episodes again. And I got
how many episodes is it in total?
6. It's only 6.
Oh, it's 6. And I mean, I haven't watched it at all, but I hear it's very good, very messy.
It's so beautiful. Good. It is very messy. It's so good. It's better than, it made me go back and commit to season 2 of Bridgerton, which I didn't do the first time, but I can already tell you it's better than both seasons of Bridgerton.
That's what happens when you get a great writer like Shonda. Like right. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Shonda Rhimes. Shout out to ABC for the biggest fumble ever.
Right.
This could have been on ABC.
And the thing about it is that even though it is a fictionalized version of Queen Charlotte and King George's story, there's enough truth in it hold it together. There's still a lot of historical accuracy in it. I mean, specifically, obviously, with his descent into madness, but it's really interesting to spin on it from Queen Charlotte being Black or of poor blood, as they wanted to say, and establishing a Black aristocracy in London.
Yeah.
Was really interesting. It was really well casted. Very well cast.
I've been on some heavy. I just been locked into like heavy Netflix programming.
Did you watch The Diplomat?
We'll say that.
The Diplomat.
Episode 3 or 4.
I haven't watched that. I've been watching Missing Dead or Alive.
Is that the one in South Carolina?
Yes. It's really good. Some on episode, I think 3 or 4 of that. I'm definitely going to knock through that.
The last couple of stories are going to be anticlimactic at the end, but it started out really good.
Yeah, yes. And then I watched The Longest Third Date. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that.
That's on my list. I haven't gotten to it.
It's about this couple. They met, I think they met swiping. I think it was Tinder or something like that. And they went out on one date, and he's like an influencer, so he films everything. I mean, even dumb shit like we're making eggs. Like he just films nonstop, right? So he went on his first date. I thought they were in New York, but I think they were in Houston. The first date was great. You know, she's a Vietnamese girl, very pretty, and she's originally from Seattle, and he's originally from the Maine. But they go out on the first date anyway. It's really great. Blah blah blah. I think they went out one more time, and he like kissed her, and they kind of, you know, it's the early shit. So the third date, your man's like, "Yo, I'm gonna go for it. Fuck it." He's like, "Yo, I'm going to where'd they go? Was it Thailand? I think.
Oh Jesus,
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. My fault. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to Costa Rica. You want to come? This is the third date.
She's like, this is gonna be a great story. I'm gonna die.
Literally, she said that. And her friends were like, you don't know this nigga. She didn't tell her parents. So they went on the third date. And then she's bugging. They went and then they got caught in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So they couldn't come home for like months.
Wow. Wow.
So, and how long was it? Was it like 6 or 8 months or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Something like that.
And they came crazy. Home married, I'm guessing. They had to, right?
No, I would almost spoil it. They didn't come home married. Yeah, but this just shows the whole thing. Like, again, these people didn't know each other.
Right.
And then they're dealing with the pandemic and, you know, resorts are closing and kicking them out and they got to go here and they got to go there. And it's just, it's a wild, and it's very short. It's like an hour 10. It's like a quick watch. But, you know, it was cool. He was an annoying nigga to me, but whatever. It was cool. It was good. I watched a couple other things. But let's talk about, we could mention The Mother. I watched that with Jennifer Lopez. I know you watched 2-9.
And here's what I would say.
It seems like it's ranking really well on Netflix.
For a J-Lo movie, it is very good. For a J-Lo movie, for a J-Lo action and adventure movie, it is good. For a regular, it ain't Angelina Jolie.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It ain't Salt or nothing like that.
It ain't Salt. But for J-Lo.
It ain't even J-Lo's movie, but she was like not actually a woman. She was fighting the dude who was abusing her.
Was that Enough? Oh, I forgot about Enough. Yeah.
Is it better or worse than Enough?
I haven't seen Enough in a
really long time. I think Enough is better.
I haven't seen Enough in a long time. I feel like J-Lo might have been playing a little too hard, like for the character was supposed to be. But I mean, listen, it was compelling enough for me to watch it all the way through.
Yeah.
And I also feel like they wanted Common to play the character that Omari Hardwick plays. There's something in my spirit says it was supposed
that
to be
Common.
It was supposed to be Common, and Common,
but he couldn't make it.
Common is filming Silo, I think, right now.
Common was filming Silo, so they got Omari Hardwick, which is fine. But it really felt, I was like, this is a real Common ass role right here. But it's worth watching.
It's definitely worth a watch.
You're not gonna walk away like, oh my god.
But yeah, I'm wasting my time. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if it auto plays after something, I'm gonna let
you
it.
Ain't got shit.
I'm not seeking it out.
Right. If you ain't got shit else to do,
it's raining outside.
If you done gone through. Like, I'm at the point now where literally every week I'm looking for new because I feel like I just keep burning through my Netflix queue. Like,
last solution. Yeah.
So if you're at that point and you're like, all right, it's worth the watch.
Yeah. Real quick, I had a conversation with somebody. Who would it? Whatever. Oh, my cousin, it's Jason. And we were talking about, because they went to see Guardians of the Galaxy the other day.
Oh, Guardians. The kids. I think we're going to see that today.
Yeah, so we were talking about how it feels like more and more and more the movie studios are really putting all their marketing and bread into either superhero films or the children animation joints. Like
the stuff that people actually come out for.
Exactly. And so it's interesting because movies like this, the Mother, and a lot of others, which Netflix is the Extraction with Chris Hemsworth, you know, those type of movies, you go to, they're now just seem to be streaming movies.
Right.
And they're not, or they hit the theater for like a week. And
I'll be honest, when I see a preview now and it says in theaters only and it's not a superhero movie, I'm shocked. Like, you're going to release this and nobody come to see this? I haven't gone, like, honestly, I think I've gone to the movies in a movie theater since the pandemic like 3 times. Maybe four. Two of those were to see Shang-Chi, and one of those was Doctor Strange, and one of those was Spider-Man.
All those movies.
Oh yeah, and Wakanda Forever. Those are the five times.
Because
superheroes bring you out. I mean, I'm not going to see Air in a theater, especially since now it's already on streaming.
It's already on streaming.
And today I'm gonna go see Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm just trying to go. Like, I might, like, the kids aren't really interested in seeing Little Mermaid. The 9-year-old's not
really.
She's not a princessy girl, though. And she's about to turn 10. But also, like, she didn't grow up with that. She watches Disney live action shows.
Oh, she didn't grow up with that.
She didn't grow up with the Disney animated influence. I don't think she ever saw the original. So I might show her the original to see if she's interested. I think all of us are more interested in that another Miles Morales Spider-Man is coming out. You know what I mean?
But you see the movies we're talking about, all those type of big, either movies that are, because those two types of films are the films that people come out with the family, right?
Exactly.
So you're going to get the mom, the dad, or whatever the situation is, you know, and then the kids, so you can make bread. But like I said, if the mother was in theaters, you know, bring the kids to see that shit. So it's very interesting how the movie
definitely ain't nobody running the theater for a J-Lo movie.
Yeah, it's very interesting how the movie thing is shifting. And so Netflix is like a, you know, not Netflix is a studio now because they're making these films, and Hulu and others, and Amazon, they're making these films that are just for this with big, not big ass stars in them. You know, before it was like, oh, starring, you know, the person from the soap operas. You know what I'm saying? But now it's like,
And you know who else has really, I think we talked about this before, but like, I find Apple Plus really compelling because they have really huge names in their content and they really don't promote off platform, like at all. They don't promote anything. Like, you have to be on platform to find out that shit is coming out.
Because I'm always seeing on Twitter, somebody's like, yo, I saw, did anybody else see so-and-so on Apple Plus? Because like, nobody's talking about it. It was a great movie, you know? Oh, that's the other thing I watched. And I know you watch it, Inca. It was not that, I don't think it should be shocking that was good because your man doesn't make whack shit. But the man named Otto.
It was so good.
Oh man.
Yo, it was so good. I watched it on the plane at some point last month. I was going I watched it on the plane and right before it came to streaming. Mm. I think I mentioned it to y'all. Maybe I did it. But what I loved about it was that I've never seen him play that kind of character.
Never.
Like a straight up curmudgeon. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen Tom Hanks play that kind of character. And yeah, same thing. By the end of it, I was like falling apart. Like,
Completely fell apart.
With the family and the best friend.
How he bonded with the kids. Yeah, the best friend. And I love the flashback because then you see, like, they were really best friends. Young. Yeah. I love the fact that when they were all moving into that, subdivision. And you say, they were really like tight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They all kind of went through certain things. But, you know, I almost spoiled a movie, but it kind of showed how it, I don't say fall apart is the right term, but how it morphed into what it morphed into. Yeah. But how even there was still, like you said, with Tom Hanks and his best friend, it was still underneath all the bullshit. He was still like, that's my man, though. No, you're my people. I'm not letting them fuck with you. Like, regardless, it was really good.
Yeah, and it also kind of highlights just what happens to the elderly who don't really have family around to take care of them,
Family's fucking them over, like black family. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to use them for money.
Yeah.
So it was really good. I just wanted to mention that. So if you haven't seen A Man Named Otto, which is also on Netflix now, mm-hmm. you should watch it. It's a really good movie. But again, that movie in the theaters, we wouldn't have seen that. We wouldn't have went to see that.
I wouldn't have gone and seen it. I didn't even hear about it. Like I said, I saw it on the
plane. I wanted to see it in the theaters, but it was there for 2 weekends.
No, it came out like late last year, I think. Or something, because I looked at it, because I Googled it. I was like, what Tom Hanks movie is this? I hadn't even thought about it, right? Yeah. And another movie, this is a Woody Harrelson joint that I saw on the plane that's now on streaming. It's The Glass Castle, I think it's called, or The Glass Cabin or something like that.
I think it's on Apple, too.
Yeah, I think it's on Apple, or it's either on Apple or Netflix. It's on one of those two. But it's a real story of this woman who started as a gossip columnist, I think, for New York Mag. But her backstory was that her father, who's played by Woody Harrelson, was like crazily alcoholic, raised her in like the backwoods of West Virginia, and just like the wild like story of how she grew up and how she kind of got away from it, but how like her family just kind of like followed her. But again, I watched it on the plane. I had never heard of it.
I never heard that.
And now it's come to streaming, but I'm just like, that is one of the things I missed about flying, is that I used to discover a lot of shit on the plane.
Absolutely. Yeah. Want to give a quick shout out to Marcus Samuelson. Saw him again last night. He was in town with his restaurant. I took my cousins over there because my cousin's he likes to cook, so he wanted to meet Marcus. So we went over there.
I see you. You've been outside. I saw you was at Army Face.
Yeah, I'm getting it all out. I'm trying to get back outside. I saw.
You know, take your time with it now.
Take
your time.
Yeah, I know.
COVID is still out there.
Sidebar. Yeah. Everybody, and I understand. Trust me, I'm not being ungrateful. Mm-hmm. I understand, but it's like, take your time, take it slow. When you go to the gym, take your time, take it slow. Right. And I'm like,
you don't want to.
Why? I'm trying to get better.
Why don't you around and you have a book to write?
Yeah, that too. But also, you're still coming back up to full power.
I am.
You can't jump back into 100% because you might have a setback. Like, you gotta.
Okay, you're right.
It's like 2 years. You can't.
You can't go first to fifth.
Straight in the. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm in like third year now. I got 4 and 5 to get to.
Right.
But yeah, I just want to say,
Mark, coast down the hill. You ain't gotta go. Up.
take your foot off the gas. It's
right, better right. Food. Off the gas.
Okay. Right. So yes, I just want to give him a quick shout out. You know, of course, he was always, as always, very great, gracious, and you know, we sat with us and we talked about music and da da da. I said, so my cousin's like, oh shit, this nigga's dope, and this place is really nice. Just want to give him a quick shout. I was just about to say something. Daggone it.
Well, while you're thinking of it, I just want to shout out Halle Bailey and this incredible rollout.
It's like watching her
action Little Mermaid. Like, she
Superstar origin story in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Disney hasn't done this big rollout for any of the other live action joints. Mm-hmm. Even with Ariana and Beauty and the Beast, it wasn't.
No, not this.
But I do hear that it is the best live action that's been done.
So they're getting the feedback, and it's incredible. That's why Disney's keeping it going.
Yeah. Right. I would guess maybe the Lion King live action was this big, but it couldn't be centered on one person because it was, you know, animals. Or whatever. But this, like, that performance at the Magic Kingdom of Party of World. Oh my God.
My ticket.
Like the lighting cues alone, I was like, Jesus Christ.
The dress she wore to the premiere.
Yeah,
they look like kind of like a mermaid fish. That was incredible. I love seeing her. Even
the London premiere look.
Yeah,
was outstanding.
Her looks have been incredible. City premiere look,
like, whoever is styling her, whoever is doing those locks, is a genius.
It's somebody black.
Got it.
Look at her Met Gala look. She had, you could see the locks at the top, but it was like a bob.
Yeah,
I was confused and bewildered and excited all at once.
Yeah,
she's good.
An incredible rollout. I'm so happy for her. Yeah, I'm so glad she broke up with DDG, because what the fuck?
Yeah, because that nigga
I don't even know who that is, so I haven't really been.
I know it, and I stayed on shit, and I didn't know. No, I didn't know who he was either. I kind of heard the name, but I didn't even know.
If you are identified as a SoundCloud rapper in 2023, I'm highly uninterested.
Bro, what are you doing? He's hanging on
because barely interested in rap as. Exactly.
I mean, he's hanging on because he's a good looking kid, so people like are into that. But thank God, whatever, man. But God bless Halle. I'm happy for her. I'm really happy for her. I hope this movie does $1 billion.
And she seems what I love is that she seems so comfortable in it. Yeah. Like, she seems like she's supposed to be here.
Yeah.
But also still really humble and like surprised by it when her little girl is like, oh my God, the mermaid. She's like, what? Like,
giving her a hug, like, oh my God, do you want to meet me? So it's dope. I'm really happy, and I hope the movie does $1 gazillion. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about
we've missed so much.
Let's talk about Met Gala and let's talk about the coronation.
Bus drivers,
because I had those down. So the Met Gala, we're getting into that. I got Ebony K. Williams here on the list.
The bus drivers alone for real.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that a little bit, but let's talk about the Met Gala, which was about 2 weeks ago now. I thought personally, that was the best red carpet looks I've ever seen. People came with the heat.
It was the best execution. I think,
and most people stayed on theme too, which wasn't not to cut you off, but you know, and I know, you know, we going, you know, into some shit that a lot of people don't realize or don't care about, but like, obviously the Met Gala, there's always a theme, right?
Right.
Whatever. And a lot of the themes, if you're not deeply into fashion, you won't get them, or you won't pull them off, right? Because it's kind of like, you know, 18th century, Anne Boleyn. It's like, what
Victorian,
the fuck? You know,
like,
yeah, Victorian.
Like, Gods and Earth.
Exactly. Right. So niggas would be like, fucking up, putting a suit. But with Karl Lagerfeld, he has such a distinctive style of his own, right?
Such a wide breadth of his work to choose.
That's what I'm about to say. So much. Chloe, you know, Fendi, blah, blah, blah. So he did so much. You know, so you could pull from so many different places. And his look, you know, all black and white always, with the high, you know, white collar and the tie and the, It was the easiest white mullet. Yeah, yeah, the mullet. Yeah, so I want to say it wasn't. I want to say it was easy to pull off because it's never easy, but it was more like doable.
Yeah,
it was more.
His work really has something for everybody.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and how that's different, the thing. Like Chloe, Chanel, and Fendi are just the three that we can think about.
Exactly.
Right. And also, it's so that and to your point, like some of the themes are so widely open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Carl is much easier to stay on theme, even though there's still some interpretation you could do, like the people who dress as his cat,
as the cat,
in different ways, in different ways. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I'm here for the weirdness.
So, we got,
my cousin,
Shout out to Jeffrey's cousins. but and also, like, it's so easy to do Carl with just black and white. You know, which also I think helped. So yeah, I think it was definitely a easy night to stay on theme for.
Yep.
He'll do. And also Carl, like he had uniforms. He didn't really go a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like he stayed in kind of certain areas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree. It was the best. Even Kim Kardashian was on theme.
Everybody was on
theme. You know, I don't feel with them. So all three of them ate.
They killed it. Yeah. They killed it.
Kendall was super camp.
Yeah,
Kylie's dress I would wear today, right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to,
they killed it. They killed it. Obviously, killed it. Tiana Taylor killed it. Like, Lil Nas X, you know, he did what he do.
Yeah.
Carisha.
Doja.
And yeah. I actually really love this carpet
super disappointed me. Every time I think about something big, I get like, it's a bummer that like Jonathan Majors was not part of.
Yeah, he probably would have played that. But
I feel like he would have killed it.
Speaking of the men, the thespians, the male thespians who killed it, Brian Tyree Henry killed it.
I was just about to mention that. Then the young man who played a love interest in Pose, I cannot think of his name, please forgive me, but wore the first.
With his face on the back.
Stunning.
Stunning. Yeah. So, you know who I was disappointed by?
Who's that?
Rihanna. So I loved her dress, loved the camellia flower cape over. I don't think it was fitted properly.
What about the fur? The fur with the fur was
the hotel look with the vintage.
I want to get to that too. By the way, this is the first time, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is the first time I think. Now you mentioned this on Twitter.
Yeah.
People like were doing 3 and 4 looks. It was like a hotel look. Do you change?
The hotel's become a carpet itself. But this was, I think, maybe like one or two people have done it in previous years, or like if it was a big look. Like we never got Rihanna the year she wore the big yellow joint with the train.
We got
a hotel shot. We only got a shot. So there are, I think you said this, Jeff. There are some, or maybe you did, Inca. There are some quick change boots.
Yeah.
Carpet, but it feels like everybody was doing that this year. Like, like Carisha did it, Cardi did it, Rihanna did it, everybody did it. And I mean, they're changing hair, changing everything. And I was just
I think so much effort. Kim started that last year on this scale where they had to build a tiny booth because she couldn't walk.
Marilyn
Monroe dress from the hotel. Right. She couldn't sit in it in the car. She had to get there. Change really quickly, and then
now
there's extra booth kind of down the street.
She never should have held that dress in the first place.
Made it so that no one can check anything out of that museum ever.
And she did damage the dress.
What was the next thing?
Too, I will say this year.
Yeah, Kim killed. Kim crushed.
And a nod back to her Playboy shoot. Anyway,
what was the next thing we were gonna mention? It was Met Gala, and what else?
Talk about Janelle Monáe's titties.
It was something about Janelle. It was something else. We forgetting shit. So Janelle Monáe.
It's been a lot. It's been 3 weeks.
It's been a lot. Janelle Monáe came out with a new song called Lipstick Lover.
And before people correct us, I want to say that yes, Janelle uses pronouns they, them, but she also still uses she, her.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't know any of that.
But we can still go.
That's not going to change how he refers.
I ain't change shit. So anyway, she came up with this Lipstick Lover video with Shit the Trees because everybody's naked and beautiful in it. And Janelle, she came with a trailer.
She's giving hardcore lesbian.
Hardcore, and even in the there was a trailer for the video where she walks out of the pool. That's her first, like,
it was an homage to the old Jamaica,
poster. Sidebar, most people don't know that woman in that poster is end up being Bob Marley's girlfriend. The one that Big the Rick with Nas. Damien, that's his mom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's mother. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
You don't write a book, man. I'm so sick of you.
So Bob Marley pulled the baddest joint in Jamaica.
Baddest joint.
But wouldn't you if you were Bob Marley?
Of course.
Because I'm searching the bush. I'm in the mountains looking for the baddie. I'm Bob Marley.
The baddie. So, but anyway, yeah, so Janelle did an homage to that with a trailer that was, I can't get the words out.
She up the is trees. The kind of gorgeous that is timeless. She looks like a doll. Her skin is absolutely perfect. And we know this now, head to toe, especially from her Met Gala outfit. But she did not change it to a second look. So shout out to her.
Oh, you have Met Gala.
Oh, because it was a deconstructed look in the first place. Like, you had it.
And then she just rocked the bikini the rest of the night, which is
which is fine. Well, she did, because she did after party. She did wear the bikini when she was singing. So she came out with this Lipstick Lover record, and I've heard from a reliable source, I'm not going to say any names, that the video shoot was incredible.
Well, also, Janelle, I know from reliable sources that
you got
Janelle throws pool parties like this. This is not a new thing.
They basically put the camera up and say, y'all do what y'all do.
Exactly.
And she said, the person said, a good time was had by all.
Yes. An invite I am looking for.
Oh my God.
That's Issa Rae's yacht shit and just one giddy, gross pool party before I die.
I would say Magic Johnson shit, but I ain't got that type of, nowhere near that type of.
You gotta be like married for a long time.
They went to, what was it, like the south of France Capri for a month?
Or some
No, but I'm happy.
You gotta like drop in and out of different ports. But what I will say though, with your list, Inga, and Jeff can probably speak to this, as the two of us have both been the alum of several Puffy soirees, the pool party ain't the thing you want. You want one of the house parties.
Yeah.
With a backyard situation.
It gets a little wild, especially when niggas start sliding into different rooms and all this type of shit. But anyway, allegedly they slide to different rooms. But anyway, so Janelle came through, shook up the trees,
broke the internet, and Twitter lost their motherfucking mind and acted like Janelle has still been wearing the black and white tuxedo up until
last. I hate Twitter.
She's chasing clout. I'm like, what are you talking? This woman's been in an Oscar nominated film and won a Grammy. What the fuck are you talking about?
Respectable. And I'm like, first of all, Janelle's been naked on Instagram for like 2 years. That's an A. And secondly,
Janelle got a taste of Tessa and been out here ever since. See,
this has been a progression. Like, I worked the yoga single, which was in 2015, which was she had on like bare stomachs, she on crop tops the whole time. You know, she was still wearing black and white, but like it was kind of like when Janet did "Love Will Never Do Without You" and came out like the Herb Rich, like the crop top and the jeans. It was like that kind
of
look.
It was like morphing into what it was, just a beginning of where she got to now.
Exactly, and over time she's been like gradually, in part because she's getting, you know, she's older. You know, Janelle is...
Yeah, she's 40 now, I think.
Janelle's 40 or nearing 40.
A sexual awakening thing happens.
Yeah, you're feeling more comfortable in yourself. And it's 40, also like...
Sure.
It's like acting like... to me, it's like acting like Alicia's still been in braids. You know what I'm saying? Like, like the thing you do in the beginning until you get established, and then almost all artists evolve out of that. And like... If you pull Janelle's red carpet looks specifically, like Janelle stayed with skin out, titties out, something very, like,
with that type of body, why wouldn't you? Sidebar. So I guess we can get into this. This is good. What Inka just mentioned something. So we're going all over the place on this show, by the way. So Inka mentioned that get a little women, not I don't know about niggas, you know, but you get a little sexual awakening. Your late 30s, or into 40s. The 40s,
the 30s into 40s.
And y'all do, and it's great.
That's
phenomenal.
What you
want to
add, nigga?
I want to add to these young niggas.
Kevin was like, I just want
to
say,
39 to 43 year old, 45 year old ass, you don't even understand what's happening.
You know what it is? It's not even so much an awakening, it becomes a level of confidence. Because when you're in your 20s, you are still subscribing. You're
still figuring out what you like.
You're also subscribing to concern about what other people are projecting onto you. Like, I don't want this person to think this about me.
I don't want him to think I'm nasty.
You care about the other person's pleasure so much more than your own.
Exactly.
And what the other person's going to say. And what the other person's going to say to their friends or auditioning, the group chat or whatever.
By the time you get to 30, you be like, whatever, nigga. Like, you know, you just feel so much more yourself.
This belly, like, these titties going to hang. This is what I look like.
Yeah.
Love it or leave it alone.
Right. Yeah, and also, like, this is what I like. And if you don't, then we don't have to, like,
I'm also, like, not teaching you about my body at this point.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't get it, if you're not trying to, like, listen and, like, figure it out, then we have nothing to talk about.
But that's why, again, we going left here. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. That's why I'm like, please show me what you like. I'm going to sit here and watch you. Enjoy yourself, and then you know, and I'll and participate. You know, but I also want to watch and see. Okay, you know, okay, on the left side, No, oh, I got
last words from Cousin Jeff over here.
Yeah, right. So y'all young niggas don't even. You better be prepared, because if you ain't keep yourself in some type of shape or whatever, because I'm telling you, when your girl hit 36, 37, it's like I said, to at least 45. You ain't gonna be able to keep up, bro. You got to, bro. You're not.
It goes to another level. It's funny because, you know, the way older men always go for younger women, but it's such a trick of nature because our libidos are set up the exact opposite way. Younger men have the libido of women in their, you know, 20 something year old men have the libido of women in their 30s and 40s instead of the other way around. It's really interesting. It's almost like your body would say, well, if you ain't done the childbearing shit yet, you might as well just go ahead and get your shit off. So
go on, get your freak on. Go on, get your freak on now.
Yeah.
Also, this is your body's like, they're like, this is your last chance. If you want another baby, we're going to hold on to these eggs.
Yep.
We fuck with you hormonally, but also, like, you're going to want it all the time.
Yeah. I was about to say something kind of flagrant, but I'm going to let that ride.
I'm gonna say, young niggas,
listen, if you when you're dealing with your girl, find out when she's ovulating, because that's when it's lit, bro. Yeah. Ovulation time is fire. Let's move forward.
can I just do like a little mini fuck that nigga segment?
Please.
An eternal fuck that nigga to Ron DeSantis.
I was going to go there. I got
everything
to bring down.
He's doing in Florida, which is, I think, his goal is just take away everyone's autonomy to everything.
Correct.
I don't.
Right. He wants to be basically like a monarch or
a king.
A state. He wants to be a king or a state president. And this is why I say that DeSantis is actually more dangerous than Trump, because DeSantis has a plan. Trump is very self-serving. His thing is like, he's going to do whatever makes the people happy that can keep him in a certain position of power. DeSantis had an ideology, that he's following, which makes him infinitely more dangerous because his shit is calculated and he has like a real vision for what it's going to mean long term. Now, I do think it seems like Florida is starting to backfire on him a bit.
Absolutely.
Between the Disney. Disney lawsuit and the fact that he's shutting down the immigration, totally like shut down agriculture,
and all the building and the housing,
and the building,
well, basically
and the
everything,
like a work stoppage on everything.
Yeah. But it's not even a stoppage because unlike the stoppages, the migrants from Florida have left the state. It ain't like they like, oh, we're gonna wait this out. Right. They're like, they're coming out here and shit. Georgia, Texas, Alabama, like I said, out that far, go west. They're not coming back. So who's gonna build those homes
I never understand. The right is the most cut your nose off to spite your face motherfuckers I've ever seen. Because every time I start talking about immigration, I'm like, y'all not doing these jobs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, The jobs that you want, them factory jobs, those are gone. That's not that you got replaced by somebody from out of the country. Those jobs don't exist. Mm-hmm. We do not want to do the jobs that the migrants do.
Who's the funny shit on TikTok is the videos of white people doing those jobs.
Oh my God.
Like picking the oranges is the one that I saw where the guy who was in charge of the farm was like, I wish they would just go home. Like, it's better to just let the fruit spoil because they are working so slowly.
They're and so slow. So yeah.
Much.
And they come
and
in.
Half of them are not even returning from lunch break.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I saw that. People say don't return from lunch break or they come late. They complain. They take the lunch break. They take mad long. And like you said, they're not doing anywhere near the level of work that the migrants were doing. And they're not, you know, even they show a construction site, the dude was on his phone, like they just, so I don't know what's going to happen. And again, even things you don't think about, like who's going to do all the hotel upkeep, like the maids and like, who's going to cook in these kitchens? Who you think is in those kitchens cooking?
Well, to raise these people's children.
Yeah, it raises people's children. Like who's going to, you know, fix shit? Like, except cut your nose and spite your face. And now the people are losing mad bread because, like I said, you got half-built houses, half-built condos with no help in sight, and the migrants are gone because it's literally, if you don't have your paperwork, it's a felony in Florida.
So
you're going to jail, and it to the point where, like, if you they used to, I still do, like Walmart or some parking lot would have, you know, the migrants would kind of come there.
Oh, yeah,
and guys would pick up in the truck.
Like at Home Depot, you pick up day workers.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you pick up some migrants and the cops pull you over, first of all, they're all going to go to jail because they don't have paperwork. But you go, it's a felony for you to even pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
A felony. Wild. So it's not like a misdemeanor. Like, nigga, you can fingerprinted, you get in the face thing, and you're going to jail. So
you're like a contractor and you even get indicted that way, you lose all of your like licenses, your permits, all of that.
It's crazy.
I really want to know what Ron DeSantis is doing. You need to look up Judge Robert Boyd, who was not confirmed during the Reagan era, or Bork. I think it's Bork.
Oh, Bork. Okay.
Judge Bork had a vision for America and was not confirmed to the Supreme Court because
I remember that.
Sniffed it out and was like, absolutely not. And it was like a big to-do to not judge. But if you look at some of like his publishings, some of just his ideology is exactly what Ron DeSantis is doing right now, step by step.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he also passed the thing you were talking about, Nye. He passed, I forget the name of it, he passed a thing that affects all the universities. You can't teach African-American studies and stuff like that.
Well, it's not just African-American studies. It's any affiliate studies. So, like, Jewish studies, studies. Like, it's basically any women's... Like, it's basically any specialized, marginalized study group. And all... But that's almost... That's just the tipping point because I think I mentioned this on the show before. People who watch this fully expect affirmative action to be repealed this summer. Mm-hmm. And so we could even end up with the way the sentiment is going and how hard people are trying to come off the heels of critical race theory and everything else. HBCUs could be in danger, honestly, because I feel like that's how hard people are trying to go to like get laws taken away to do any kind of specialized funding. Mm-hmm. Any kind of anything. It's like basically anything designated specifically, not just for Black, but this isn't just a Black, queer. I don't know why white
women. Non-white, non-male, non-Christian. Women.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of that shit is on the table, honestly.
Yeah.
And like, it's scary. I mean, it's been scary, but I'm just like, what frustrates me is how many niggas don't realize like we on our way back to Jim Crow and still acting like this shit ain't serious.
The KMG said they're gonna hook you to the plows.
Yeah, it's still acting like we got time to argue about Biden. Like, come on, B. Like,
yeah, come on.
We ain't got time for this shit right now.
Why are we even this? Yes, it's crazy.
But y'all ain't running no camp. Y'all ain't running no candidates. Y'all ain't supporting no local elections. Y'all ain't doing nothing for the pipeline. But you want to complain about who our options are.
Exactly.
Colorado Springs just elected their first Black mayor. Shout out to Yemi.
Really?
He's married to a white woman.
But I was about to say, but is he with us? Because Eric Adams is the black mayor and that motherfucker.
He's terrible.
He's Ghanaian? I don't know. But he's married to a white woman here, which is pretty common. And
he's married to the white gal. Just
won the election, so shout out to him. Very exciting stuff.
Damn it, damn it, damn it, man. Well, yeah, we're married
to the white gal. Is progressive. I mean, it's not like we got Lauren Boebert.
Okay. All right. I think she's going to be done when she runs again. By the way,
well, she's getting divorced, and you know they don't like that. So
they don't like that at all. Did they say why? Was she cheating?
Oh, I don't know. I just got that she's filed for divorce from her husband.
Well, rather keep it going, because we didn't get to talk about the subway shooting in New York City. The chokehold thing. My fault.
The murder of Jordan.
Why am I blanking on the young man who passed away? What's his name?
Jordan Neely.
Jordan Neely. He was from Washington Heights area, which is a uptown near where me and I lived. The neighborhood next to Harlem going north. And he, his mom, sadly, was killed by her boyfriend. When he was 14, and that sent them into a mental health kind of spiral, which is understandable.
He had to testify at the trial.
Hard work for a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So he has some family uptown. I don't know, you know, what happened, why he wasn't able to kind of stay with them. Maybe he just left, you know, who knows. But he was in the subways, and he used to do Michael Jackson impersonations and make money and stuff, and there's tons of videos of him on social media doing it, the Michael Jackson stuff. Like, he was kind of known, I guess, for doing that because, you know, he was decent at it. But anyway, apparently he was on the subway. I think it was a 6 train. I'm not sure which train. And it was F. It was at Broadway Lafayette where this happened. And he was in a... I don't know if he was manic at that point or not, but he was in a space where he was not doing well. And he was on the train, apparently complaining because he was hungry and tired and thirsty. He was basically yelling and ranting, basically saying, like, I need to eat because no one's helping me to eat. And you know, I guess he was getting a little wild, but he was not bothering passengers. He was not, like, you know, beating up people or hitting people or anything like that. He was just in a state. And this guy, Daniel Perry, this dickhead Daniel Perry, took it among himself to choke Jordan. We found out later that Daniel was a former Marine, which is interesting because he's only 24 years old. Usually not at the Marine Corps that young. It's like you only did.
Yeah, so which makes me wonder.
Yeah, did he get kicked out or whatever? Yeah. And so
I don't think he made it through Marine training. He had aspirations to be a Marine.
Okay.
And also, didn't make it through the police department.
Stolen valor. Yeah.
And his father's a state retired state police trooper. So I'll get to that in a second. So he chokes Jordan. And for 15 minutes, like, think about how long 15 minutes is.
That's so long. And I also just, as a person who rides the subway and has seen, you know, like, you confront unwell people.
All the time.
Aggressive homeless people.
All the time.
Like, literally all the time. And there's, like, an unspoken rule that, like, if it's that bad, you get off at a stop and get on another car. Like, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Or you just ignore it. And I'm just trying to imagine not only this man putting him in a chokehold for 15 minutes, but the fact that someone else helped restrain him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, y'all could, like, neither one of y'all could have been from here. Like,
that was my point. This killing, amongst many other foul things, showed me the level now, and it's not surprising, but the level now of gentrification in New York.
Right.
Because New Yorkers, that wouldn't have happened. First of all, nobody would have choked him. And if somebody was choking, somebody would have been like, yo, man, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah, like, let him go.
Yeah.
But all these people who have no ties to the city, no experience with, you know, dealing with that type of thing, they just watched it and let it happen. Like, whatever.
Like, there is no way in which they're like, well, he was aggravating and assaulting people. And also, folks are trying to bring up his arrest record, but that's arrest for like panhandling, for vagrancy.
Yeah. And also, nobody knew his record on the train.
Exactly.
And
you know what's interesting? I was in Northeast DC last week, which is the hood. I was going to get my fried pound cake, which I'll talk about later. I was in a CVS in Northeast, and there was this woman who was kind of like rushing on people at the register. She was like, "I'm hungry, Auntie. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm angry." Like this big black.
You will get angry if you're fucking hungry like that.
I'm hungry. I haven't had like you could hear it through the whole story, and I just kept thinking to myself like this could be another Jordan Neely incident if people didn't understand like. We just gotta let her be. You know what I'm saying? Like
either gotta let her be, or honestly, like, and maybe I'm being pie in the sky here, like say, all right, shorty, like come on, I'm gonna get you a two-piece.
Right.
Come on, you that hungry, let's go. I ain't gonna give you the bread, but it's right around the corner. We'll go to the Chinese spot. Let me get you 2 piece. And I've seen that in New York too. Many
and somebody
times.
Did say to her, he was like, I'll get you something. What do you want? And see, I'll be honest, I sometimes make a choice on whether I'm going to engage or not. Because you really don't know
which
way it's going to go.
You don't know.
Engagement is not always a great idea.
Right, right.
But like, yeah, it's, but I couldn't help but like see and hear her because she was a little scary. I ain't gonna front. Because she looked like she really wanted to get at somebody. But also she was just saying she's hungry.
It was desperation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For her, you know?
And, I couldn't help but think about Jordan Neely. Like, this is what Jordan Neely was going through. Ironically, this is not of any real importance, but I found out the other day, I kind of casually know his dad. A friend of mine used to be in this R&B group, like not even a one-hit wonder, like they barely charted, who was on Columbia in the mid-90s. And Jordan Neely's dad was apparently in the same group.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so my mom was like, oh, he was in Asante. I was like, really? Okay. I don't remember, but I thought that was just his story is both like tragic. It's a New York story, but it's also very tragic. Like his mother was choked to death, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I think he witnessed it. You know, there's been a lot about what's going on with, and I think there is some internal family conflict, like the aunts and stuff. We're going around the dad and had like this whole thing planned, and all that stuff, and the dad was kind of trying to squash it, you know. So there's a lot of family.
It's messy. I hate this is reminiscent of the Bernard Goetz case, which is years and years ago.
Right.
But it, same thing. Some guys. This it was different than that. Not the, it was different than that. That was in the late 70s when New York was a fucking hellhole.
Right.
And
oh, Bernard Goetz is the one who shot.
But those guys were menacing.
He made him seem like he was a hero. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were menacing Bernard, but he shouldn't have shot them. But nobody was doing, Jordan wasn't doing anything to anybody. And you see the comments and stuff, and there was so many people like, yeah, he should have killed them and da 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 da. Like, it just makes me feel like New York City is really on some other shit now, just in general, like it's turned into almost like a, I don't know, MAGA might be too strong, but it's turned into this like gentrified place where white people like, yo, this white people basically like, this is our city now. Fuck y'all.
MAGA is too strong, but it's become so distilled, right? And like there's so much outside influence that's wiped out, like kind of like the genuine culture of New York. And so many people who have come in from other places. Not that hasn't always been the case, but like especially since pandemic, you got more and more, I guess, authentic New Yorkers who are either moving out of the city, going back, or passed away, or leaving, or even just moved back out to like some boroughs and stuff like that. But even some other people I've talked to since I moved have been like, yeah, it's funny style in the city right now. It just doesn't.
You don't feel right. Where I mean, look, there's always before people would move to New York, and you definitely had pockets. I've always had the theory. This is my theory, but I've always had the theory that Sex and the City really started.
Oh, Sexy City was a
this wave of gentrification.
100%. 100%.
And I always believed that, and I have no proof of this. I'm talking shit.
Like Sex
and
the City, then girls ain't help.
Yeah, girls too. But yeah, because I started the Brooklyn shit. Yeah. And but I feel like there was the New York Transit Department or whatever, the tourist rather department, whatever. I think that they worked with Sex and City on the low because it was like, yo, we have a plan to make New York look like this thing where it's just white people. Because I mean, that was the Sex and the City.
I don't even think it was a tourism board working with Sex and the City, because remember, Sex and the City was a book before it was a TV series.
It was.
And that was very much the book. I mean, that was very much like white people in the meatpacking district in the, on the club scene back in there. It was authentic, right? But what you had was, once it came out on HBO, all these 20-something-year-old white girls watching this, or watching like the Gossip Girl people or whatever, mm-hmm. being like, that's the New York I want to live in.
Exactly. But,
and then Bloomberg made it easier because he rezoned a bunch of shit to make it easier for businesses to come in, to make it easier for like the Euros to have pied-à-terre and people, mm-hmm. people from other countries to have like their little pied-à-terres here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had like that, the not the rental market, but like the Airbnb market,
mm-hmm.
share market blow mm-hmm. up at the mm-hmm. same time. So I think it was a perfect storm of a bunch of shit because every major city is facing this. Almost every city is losing its authentic markers. It's starting to become more homogenous. It's starting mm-hmm. to, every city is starting to look more and more alike. Like there's the things that make it special are completely mm-hmm. disappearing. Atlanta's going through it. Shit.
Yeah, Atlanta's definitely going through it. Atlanta
was Baltimore. Atlanta was,
yeah.
Baltimore's definitely going through it.
Yeah.
DC. And that was the thing about Atlanta, which was the trick bag that niggas didn't realize. It's like, okay, you're building all these beautiful homes. You can get these loans and all these beautiful homes. But all the beautiful homes are like at least 30 to 30 minutes or maybe more outside the city. And so they niggas
traffic ever. So
exactly. But niggas, okay. You know, niggas are new first generation for the most part. So we never had houses. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can get a 5-bedroom house, you know, 6 bathrooms and on an acre of land and blah, 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 for this much, I'm going. Mm-hmm. Now what happened is it empties the city out. They knocked down all the, they also knocked down all the projects in the land. They knocked down all the projects. So they got, they basically cleared out the city. And then they started building all this stuff in Atlanta. And all the gentrifiers was like, I want to live in the city. Mm-hmm. And it's clean, it's clear, it's clear for me to do it. So now you get all the gentrifiers coming to Atlanta and you get Google and you get Amazon, you get Microsoft and so on. So
you get an erasure of actual culture that made Atlanta special.
Exactly.
And basically also what it is, it's just like there's this trend and has been for quite some time of reverse migration, which is where Black people are going mm-hmm. back to the South. Mm-hmm. This is just the reverse of white flight
exactly.
that happened that happened after Jim Crow, which mm-hmm. when all the white people were leaving the urban areas and going out to the suburbs, is like now, like you said, Black people are being pushed out to the suburbs. The difference is a lot of these cities, the reason that, you know, they're having such fights expanding their public transportation is because people don't want it to be easy for folks to come for
absolutely
the Black
people not.
Into the city to get back and forth. Like
that's Atlanta. Really they want to expand. They want to extend the MARTA line past certain points of Atlanta because they don't want, you know, niggas to have the access to get out and back. So not that's why you get Inca, that's why you get the massive traffic because there's no option. If you live out in another county, there's no train. You have to drive. So,
well, at least I will say DC did, I mean, it took a hell of a fight, but they got a few more stops, got the purple line, got the silver line out to more Black areas.
Yeah, like the MARTA is out by me, but I haven't taken any public transportation in so long that I'm not even trying to explore that shit just yet, but I will eventually. I mean, I haven't taken it out here before because Cheyenne used to live in Silver Spring, but I'm going to get on it eventually.
Hey, Cheyenne. By the way, hey, Cheyenne, how you doing, baby? I seen your latest Instagram post, Cheyenne. Looking good, baby. Looking good. I'm trying to be nigh step of nigh brother-in-law. Shit.
Oh, I have.
Hello, we need to find Jeff a very sweet, nice
Christian Southern gal.
Lady.
Listen, I had a conversation with a mutual friend of me and Jeff's. I ain't gonna say who, but she was like, "I told Jeffrey as soon as he's well, I'm gonna find him a good woman in Atlanta, not one." Nobody that has any street affiliation.
He need a little bit.
He was like, not none of these get money girls. Not none of these used to be outside girls. Like, I'm fine. There's too many good girls. It's a good girl.
Good Christian girl.
Who can take care of him. It's like too many because he's a good man. And he needs a good girl.
He's a good man now. Yeah, good man, Savannah. Well, thank whoever said that. Thank you, and I'll be looking forward to it. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that. I want to also mention. Let's talk about Ebony. It's kind of the same place. You just kind of opened it up. Let's talk about Ebony K. Williams. So Ebony K. Williams is a lawyer, an author, a podcaster, a TV personality. She does a lot of things.
First Black housewife of New York.
Yes, I forgot about the first Black housewife.
Also yeah, an AKA.
That
she mentions, you know, a lot. Yeah,
and wears her sweaters.
Not to say it like super exasperated, but like she is very involved in her sorority. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Hold. I just wanted to say one thing. Just shout out to whoever threw the R&B thing in the park.
Oh, yeah. That looked fun.
It was dope. Sean and Mona had a cabana, so I got to see them. I sat with them and hung out with them. And it was a great day. It was this R&B all day. It's a Red Alert. It's a Red Lover.
Listen, we give you a lot of flack about being mixy, but Sean be in these streets too.
But Sean always be with Mona.
Sean just be there so he don't get fined.
Yeah, he always be with Mona though. He don't never go
Sean nowhere. Sean be there with Mona. Yeah. He don't really want it, but Sean be texting us like,
no, he act like he crotchety, but he wanted to be on stage on skates with Usher when it was happening. I'm Sean for you.
But yeah, so I was just great to see them, and it was a great day. And that was the Atlanta that I know and love. It's a bunch of Black folks from everywhere having a great time and having a beautiful day. This is part of Mary J. Blige does a
Strength of
week,
Women Fest.
Yeah, it's a second week, second year doing it, a Strength of Women Fest. It's like a music, it's kind of Essence Fest-ish.
Yeah, it's like music empowerment.
Yeah.
There's panels, there's all kinds of stuff. Shout out to Ashauna Ayers, who is one of Mary's managers, who co-produces the
festival.
I heard it
was good, and she always does it on Mother's Day weekend, so yeah. It's kind of like around women, and so it was really good. So I want to give a shout out because I was going to forget. But back to Ebony K. Williams, she's so she was on the Breakfast Club.
And full disclosure, I know Ebony, so I should say that.
Okay, she's on the Breakfast Club. Right, with 3 weeks ago now. Weeks.
Well, they start with the Breakfast Club. It started with her own show. She does a show, a digital daily show on the Griot's Network, digital network.
Mm-hmm.
A new
she was
show.
She was talking to
Ayanna Van Sant. I have no idea how they got here because I was not going to watch the whole interview.
Oh, she said, the question was, she was asking Ayanna, like, as a Black woman, speaking for Black women, we have, you know, a hard time finding a mate, especially at her age. I think Ebony's about either 40 or about to be.
Like, yeah, she's at 40.
Right in that high sex range.
Yeah.
39 to 45. But anyway. Anyway, so she asked Ayanna, excuse me, and I'm paraphrasing, that like we're having, you know, Black women having, she said women. Basically, but she said, having trouble finding a mate at this age, and what should we look for, and what are we doing to maybe not, you know, attract men, blah, blah, blah. And so that was the question. And then Ayanna questioned her back and said, would you date a bus driver?
Now, here's the problem. And Ebony said, I'll date somebody who owns the bus.
Owns the bus.
Company, whatever. People jumped on Ebony. I didn't so much have a problem with Ebony's response. I'm going to tell you why. I had a problem with other people's who aren't Ebony and who aren't in Ebony Station's response. But I'm going to get to that. My first problem was with Ayanna asking that question back to her as a gotcha. Because Ayanna's romantic history is a fucking mess. She has dated, quote unquote, beneath her station, married beneath her station, and that nigga took off of everything and left her ass.
That's
right?
True. So she's currently the same.
Widowed.
Huh? Oh, she's widowed?
She's widowed, yeah.
Okay, well, I know one of her marriages, second, third. She also been married like a gang of times. Mm. So you actually, Ayala, aren't the person to point to somebody and say, your standards are too high, right? That's A. Secondly, we know that Ayala has a tendency to come at Black women like they're going too hard. Meanwhile, you cradling niggas in your bosom and digging holes for them to shout into while you rub their back on all kind of bullshit.
Listen, we ain't gonna bash Ayala now.
Even a broken clock is right.
You know that was my show. I'm still mad she didn't do the show no more.
She was getting death threats and people were harassing her.
I know, but damn.
So here's the thing.
I've seen every episode.
I do understand Ebony's initial answer because, Ebony, I think Ebony's initial answer wasn't a money answer. It was a class answer because there's two different
It was a class answer.
Money and there's class, right?
It's very much the annoying side of Black excellence.
Right. So I think Ebony's initial answer wasn't a money answer. It's a class answer because even if you're comfortable dating somebody at a different income bracket than you, it can be different to date somebody who's in a different class bracket.
I got to counter to all your stuff you're saying, by the way. Now, I'm gonna let you finish.
Let me finish. But my issue was the other motherfuckers who were carrying on the conversation, who act like blue collar workers are automatically broke.
Tell me you don't know without telling me
you don't know, because they're not. And not only that,
but that also came from Ebony Nye. That also came from Ebony Nye because she said that even her, so people point out, your mom was a bus driver, and she was like, yeah, and she was it was mediocre work, and she wasn't reaching her potential, and she'll tell you that. It's like, but your mom's put you through school as a bus driver. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you a whole lawyer.
But like I said, I didn't have a problem with Ebony's initial answer to Ayala.
Oh, okay.
Now, how it went on and what she said on Breakfast Club
is crazy. It was crazy.
But her initial answer, I didn't have a problem with. But it started this whole conversation, which I hate, which I'm like, one of the biggest disservices that happened post civil rights movement was this push of Black people into white collar professionalism,
corporate America,
us to give up trades, and that blue collar work was somehow demeaning, right? Because let me tell you, I know it ain't like this maybe in random flyover Colorado city, flyover state, if you are a municipal worker or a blue collar worker, but in major cities, you got benefits, you got pension, it's a union job, and you clocking overtime, double overtime, triple over, you know what I'm saying? Like,
night differential and holiday time. Like, come on.
Yeah, they make good. Now, I know the unions ain't what they used to be back in our parents' day because motherfuckers done spent all the money. But it's still like the idea for me as an entrepreneur, even in the music industry, I always know I want to retire out of the fucking music industry. Are you kidding me? People retire from blue collar jobs. I don't know anybody who retires out of white collar jobs anymore. I don't know anybody except teachers. Who literally do that shit until they can't do it anymore. Nobody does that. Nobody stays at corporations for 20 years. Nobody, like, that's not a thing that happens, right? And I knew when I got in the record industry, I was like, I'm not retiring out of shit. I'm not retiring out of any company. And now as an entrepreneur, especially, like, thankful my boyfriend has an NFL pension. Thank God, because I ain't got no pension. My mother said something to me about retirement. I was like, retire what? Who?
Yeah. Retire where? What's that?
Stop working?
Yeah. I think that a lot of this thing with Ebony, like you said, and I think that is a good point. Now, what it brought up was class issues in the Black community,
right?
And that is a lightning rod and a touchy subject because, like you said, a lot of Black folks got shots to do things in corporate America.
Right.
In the late 60s into the 70s. And we've seen movies about that. Like Inkwell was an example of that, where one guy was like, you too Black and blah, blah, blah. So you got examples of that. But what's happened is, like you said, over time, it's been like, if you don't, if you're, it's been drilled I don't know about the dudes as much, maybe, but it's definitely been drilled.
I feel like it's the dudes too.
That if you don't have this, if you're not that, if you don't have a college degree, if you're not, you know, then I can't fuck with you.
Right. And I think it's been to dudes too, but again, I think this is a class conversation, because if you come from a family of tradesmen or manual labor, then like you've been taught that's an honest day's work or whatever. But other people, like, in order for you to succeed, now it's even worse because everybody, like, you need to own your own business. Everybody does not need to own their own.
Everybody cannot be a boss. You have people.
There's so much liability. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much liability. Sometimes just go get a check. But I'm just like, but for Ebony specifically, and Bevy said this, and I get it. You know, Ebony earns probably upwards
of
a million a year. She travels a lot. She moves and like I said, I know Ebony. Ebony is very much like, she is like, she's a lawyer. She's a black lawyer, AKA, like, she's that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
That means
that, you know,
that's who your friend's trying to hook me up with.
She's got mouth. She's got opinions.
For you.
She's got opinions. She's got, you know, she's going to give them. She talks for a living. She gives her opinions for a living. You know what I'm saying? So, and I know as an opinionated person who gets to share my opinions for a living, not everybody can do that shit, right? So it's like, not everybody can deal with that. So there is not just the, do you make the same amount of money I do? Because I will tell you what, a blue collar nigga will trick quicker than, he be ready to spend quicker than.
That was going to be my whole point. I've never been
like, what you need, where you want to go, what you want to get.
Than blue collar niggas, like, period. Yeah.
What do you need? Let me go spend. What do you want me to take care of?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need me to do? Like, so there is some, that aspect of the traditionalism I find appealing. My two most serious relationships before this one were both with transit workers. Legit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, so I do appreciate that. And my uncle was retired from transit. So I've had both sides in my family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but on the flip side, there is still sometimes a, not both of them felt comfortable coming around my friends. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a little bit of insecurity, especially like one of them had a college degree. They went into transit because they had a daughter come. They needed a union job. They needed the benefits. But there was always a little insecurity around their friends who got to go to grad school and do the, they felt less than. You know what I'm saying? So I get both sides. I just think that people have oversimplified it. Exactly. And especially in this day and age where we got young women who are acting like niggas who go to work for a actual job
terrible. Get
a paycheck are whack. And I'm like, is it crack? I have to attribute it to youngness, because I'll admit at 20, you don't understand the importance of Benny's. You don't understand the importance of that 401k match. You don't necessarily understand the importance of that flexible spending account for your healthcare. You don't necessarily see the weight of, like, you know, a flexible work from home system or whatever have you, or just the value in having a direct deposit hit and have your taxes already taken out. You ain't got to calculate that shit yourself. Like, you don't see that until you get a little further along. Mm-hmm.
But this is my thing back to the
dating, okay, of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, and I'm being a little raw, but okay. So Ebony's 40. She's a beautiful girl, smart. Oh, that's not even for the
and divorced,
and yeah, in divorce. But again, lovely.
None of this is, I think, against her. Like,
you're not her. This is not, let me take Ebony the person out of it, because it's not about this, that persona, like that person. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Ebony's out here that exist like that, yeah, right? But what happens is, okay, you have these standards, and it's fine. Everybody's allowed to have whatever standards they have. But my thing is always like, with that persona, it's like, it always feels like y'all want the finished product, but you wasn't there when the product was being built. And the woman who, for whatever reason, met Greg or Jim or Pete or Sam, right, whatever, and was there, do the bullshit, I'm not saying it was a perfect ride, because it never is, but was there, then the product is built. And that, most of those guys that persona is talking about are one of two things. Either they've been married for 20, 25 years, and I'm saying, you know, I'm not saying it's the Huxtables, but they've been married for a long time, they got kids, blah, blah. They ain't going nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless. So whatever, they're not going nowhere. That's off the table. Then the other guy who has the same kind of qualifications that that persona is talking about is probably divorced, right? And mixy. Yeah. So he don't want that persona. He wants 31-year-old. He don't want 45-year-old. Sorry. Yeah. And I'm going to say, you just heard me talking about how hot 40-something-year-olds are. So this is no disrespect to that. But what I'm saying, in real life, a nigga who's popping like that and getting money and whatever, built a business, he's doing this thing, like you said, he's very mixy. And he's outside, and he's moving around, and he's going to the jazz fest, and he's going to this, and he's going to that, and he done bagged a 32-year-old girl who just became a lawyer. And that's what he's doing. And they're not probably either looking to get into anything serious, or they're going to take their time at it. So it's kind of like you're, and I think that's kind of what Ayanna was getting at. Your pool of what you want is so small.
Right.
You need to expand your pool because that's why you are where you are.
But here's
six niggas that fit those qualifications.
But here's my issue with that, Jeffrey. It's too big. And me and my boyfriend.
Let's go.
First of all, I think y'all know me on the show well enough that I don't automatically be like, ain't no good niggas. Niggas ain't shit.
No. You ain't on that.
I've never been that person.
No, not at all.
I've never really had a problem dating. I'm not that person. Yeah. What I will say, though, is that when we are talking about women in their 40s, we have stopped taking into account how much our dating pool was lessened by how many motherfuckers died or got arrested or were in jail.
Yeah, that's a huge factor as well.
So we came out at a disadvantage in the beginning, right? Everybody, my whole entire life, since I was old enough to even consider getting married, all I've been hearing is how my generation of Black women had the odds stacked against us. That's all I've heard, right? So as you continue to advance in your career, those odds increase, because what I've noticed with my peers who are men is that they feel like they have to hit certain benchmarks. And by peers, I mean class peers. Mm-hmm. They feel like they have to hit certain benchmarks before they get married. And whoever's there when they hit that mark, that's who they marry. Whereas with women, it's like you see the person when you're in your 20s, you see the person you want to build with, you see the potential, you're like, let's do this together. They're like, no, I need to get the X place. Whoever's there when they get the X place, that's the one, right? So it's that different mindset. But now once we get to our 40s, the men who have never been married, they're going to marry younger because they still want kids, they still want this, they want that, they want whatever. But I don't necessarily think it's fair. And I don't know what the solution is, but I don't necessarily think it's fair to say to women, well, since the men your age who are at your level are going younger, you need to change your own standards. Because
You don't have to. You don't have to change anything. But it's going to be a struggle.
It is. But I promise you, at some point, every woman has gone through a situation where they were like, let me lower the bar. Let me give this nigga a chance.
And it turns out bad.
You gave a chance, showed his ass. You know what I mean? So then it's like, why bother? You know, like, and then in that, you're pissed off because you think, I'm supposed to be the prize. The fuck you doing? You know, so it's like, so then it's like, why bother? So, I mean, again, I don't know if there's a simple solution. Now, what I will say about Ebony is that Ebony's ex-husband is white. Mm-hmm. And I know she dates white. That's her choice.
And she dated the man she was dating when she was in Real Housewives of New York was white. Right. And do we know what happened with that, right?
Yeah, that's
then your I don't choice. Think I don't you should be in a conversation
exactly
about, I will agree with
that was my second
I will
point
agree with that.
And that's what that's what DJ Envy called her on. He was like, basically, you date white men, so what do you talk about the brothers need to the brothers? You ain't fucking with the brothers at all. So like, how are you gonna tell people what Black men need to do, but you dating, you know, you dating Chad? Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? That was crazy talk to me. And the guy who she, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make this about her specifically.
Right. But it's a conversation bigger than her.
It's tough. You're right. And it's tough. And I'm not trying, you know, it's hard. Y'all know I love the Black women, right? So it's hard. It's a hard space to be in because it's not fair. It's not fair for Black women to have to lower the standards. Also,
I also don't think it's like a lower standard to what the mentality of having blue collar be this lower thing that we kind of
not that. I just mean, and I
back to the original point.
Yeah. And I don't think that blue collar is a lower standard, but if you have a certain, but I will say, if you have a certain idea in your mind of like who you want to be matched with in terms of career, in terms of, because one thing I will say at this age is that it does help to be with somebody who understands how you need to move, right? Professionally. That's one of the biggest challenges I've had being in it. And Jeff, you could probably relate to this, being in the entertainment industry. Like, I don't want to date somebody else in the entertainment industry, but nobody who's not in the entertainment industry understands my life. Yeah.
You know why you got to go out tonight?
Where you going? Why you on
the you traveling again?
Yeah, what you doing? Y'all just be out there. Why you on your phone?
And that's across every profession. Because, like, I can't tell you how many military wives are upset that, like, their husband is at home right at 4:30. Exactly. And it's like, if someone else has to dismiss him, girl. Like, that's exactly. Not life.
You have to be with somebody who either knows what they're signing up for, understands that life somehow. And I think that's another place where that professional gap, especially when you're a woman in a very challenging career, that can be a hindrance, right?
It is. I guess I know many women that worked in music that, you know, beautiful, smart, that are never been married to this day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like I peeped it. Almost every senior executive I knew who was a woman for a very long time was either divorced or not married. You know what I mean? And it's like, even now, I see some who are getting married later, getting remarried later, or whatever. But there's a lot of them. Like, they not
a lot of them.
It's a lot of them, and dating somebody else in the industry is equally fucking messy. But it's just like, so I got Ebony's initial response and where it was coming from.
Yeah, but then later on, it morphed into some other shit.
My thing was really, and y'all saw, I went on a whole kind of little rant about it. Was just this idea that we do have. That, and this was from the regular niggas who was jumping on this bandwagon, is this idea that we have that somehow, if you are not sitting in an office tower, you failed. You failed. You're not smart. You don't have any kind of real acumen. Like, because I also know a lot of entrepreneurs that really ain't making no money, like, at all.
It's tough.
You know, so, It's tough out here, and I really do think we are obsessed with this boss culture, which is ridiculous.
Not to be on my conspiracy theory shit, but I think it's real. There also was, I think there was a meeting at some point, and hiring black women, you said not to these corporate jobs, whatever they are, right? It did help stunt in a lot of cases destroy the black family, because if you hire a black woman in corporate America, you're getting a 2-for-1. Mm-hmm. You're hiring a minority and you're hiring a woman. A woman rather. So you're like, in the diversity shit, I'm cool because I got all these black women. But then it trickles down to now the black woman is making $225,000 a year plus bonuses or whatever it is, $350,000. And the black man is not. So then it kind of psychologically reverses the roles where the black man is like, damn, I'm only making, you know, $85,000 a year. My wife makes $350,000. And it starts to feel like he's not the boss of the home. Oh, and let me just say this other thing. My big bro, Mike from DC, he told me something years ago that I think is really valid into this conversation. He said him and his wife, they've been married forever, right? They have really good marriage and stuff. And he said that right away, and his wife was like super smart and went to, I think she got a master's or something. She's dope, right? They both work for the government. But he said early on, they came up with the rule of the agreement that it's not your money and my money. Mm-hmm. It's our money. So both checks go into the one a joint account, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously they pay the bills out of that. And if, you know, she wanted to go get her hair done or whatever, you need to take your piece. And if he wanted to go buy some clothes, whatever, you take his piece. But what's also happened is there's a culture now of yours and mine. Right. Like, I got my bank account, you got your bank account. What bills are you going to pay? This is kind of with the fucking Gabrielle Union shit, which I want to get into as well. What bills are you going to pay? And what bills are you going to pay? And when you didn't pay the phone bill, it's late. See, and it starts to create tension because it's like, I don't want you to touch my shit and know what I got. And I don't want you to touch my shit and know what I got. And you're not working as a union. And I think that's also the problem with the Ebony K. Williams conversation. She feels like, I got to get somebody on my level because I make so much money. I need to get somebody who also makes that type of money. But it, right. but if you're making $1.5 million a year, the Ebony's of the world, again, I don't think about her, and he's making $110,000 a year, right? It, what does it matter?
Because we were raised by women who told us, have something for yourself.
Exactly.
I'm with that.
You have to do everything in the joint account. Our mothers and grandmothers were burned by that, and then were, by result, stuck.
Jeffrey, I think when you are a woman, even though, you know, we're in a space where things are more equitable than they were previously, and very often woman has home ownership before the man and all that other stuff, there still is an instinct to protect yourself, because only been a couple of generations that we could even own this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, and also, I think because for so long we were groomed to use our resources to cover the man in the family or the man in the community or to do we like. Like, I can't tell you how many niggas was trying to use my credit for some shit, you know, over the years or whatever. And ended up having to use another woman's. But like that was our instinct, is to be like, you know, this, like you said, this is ours, and not have it reciprocated.
That's a different situation though, because you wasn't married to these guys,
right? I do agree, marriage is a different thing. But I think that what you learn growing up is what you know, right?
Yeah.
So different people, like with the Gabby thing, she has some insecurities that come from her past. So you got to figure out what works in your household. Like you may say, always like you, and I'm making up shit, but you may say, I always saw my mother have to beg my father for spending money. I'm not trying to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep my account. We'll keep a house account. And we keep a house account and side accounts. Or you might be like, I saw my father leave and my mother ain't have shit. So we keep in separate accounts. You know, I think you really got to, everything ain't going to work for everybody. And I think but I do believe that the married couple has to determine for themselves,
of course, early how it works.
What works for them. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, but the constant mind yours thing in the long term, it creates problems because it's so much separation. And you don't know what's going on. And it's like, what's he really doing with all that money? What the hell is she doing with all? It just creates a lot of separation. The Gabby Dwayne thing to me was goofy. Dwayne Wade is worth almost $200 million, right?
Yeah, and I was going to say, that has nothing to do with us.
Nothing. Yeah. According to Google, Gabby's worth 40. And
Gabby's worth 40. He's worth 40. Almost 100. But
so what are you talking about, Shorty?
The
bills is paid.
She wasn't talking about that. That was a comment within an answer. The conversation was about how she feels about her relationship with money. And she was saying that she still gets anxious about money. And within answering the question, she was like, because I cover half of the bills in the house, right? So I start feeling way like, am I going to be able to put my part up? Like, she didn't stay on that. It was within the context of an answer.
What I'm saying is,
I almost wish she had brought it up because niggas seized on it, but that wasn't the point. She didn't spend no time talking about the why, the how, or nothing of that. She threw that out as an answer to talk about her own anxiety about money.
I got you. But my point is,
in context of a relationship, because she said in her book that she cheated in her first marriage because she was the breadwinner. She was like, I make these rules. I'm in charge of this shit. You don't really contribute anything, so I can do what I want to do. And she's trying to hold herself accountable by continuing to pay bills so that she doesn't have that feeling
that he might do the same. Yeah.
That's goofy. It's goofy when y'all combined are worth $250 million.
I know,
that's crazy,
but
talk.
Jeff, that's their house. That's their house. Yeah, like he just said, they ain't got shit to do with us. And honestly, I think most people's reaction to it is this idea that people who are worth that much money have conversations about splitting bills. It's like,
It's silly.
It's the thought that it shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't.
But it's like she wasn't the girls in the context of right. our lives. They not.
But she also. But she also wasn't. They not. They not the, having they a not the Con Ed. Right.
And that's yeah. when the Con Ed and the Time Warner bill.
And the cable bill. Bad. But she also wasn't having a conversation about the splitting of the bills.
I got you. I understand.
Relationship with money. And I understand. Of course, that was the part that people seized on, yeah. which I understand, because the idea that people, like, you feel like wealthy people, this is not a conversation they have of like, well, I'm going to cover this much, you're going to cover this much. The idea is that they pool their resources in some way. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So it sounds
and the accountant, you send it to the accountant and he pays.
Yeah,
it,
and he sends it to the business manager, they take care of it.
It's a difference between, I think what she was trying to get at was the transparency of it all and not keeping, you know, one person out of the loop with the money, which is how we know all these white women that be crying on TikTok, how they end up with nothing and their husbands are millionaires because
right.
there's no transparency in the household fund.
And it was hiding money and they didn't know what was in their name and yeah. all that other type of shit. So, yeah.
I don't know. We went long on that conversation, but it was a good conversation. So we're gonna wrap this up with a 3-hour podcast. But I did just want to mention I hope John Moran gets his stuff together because he's
and also to all y'all mentor. Who keep saying to all y'all who keep saying John Morant didn't do anything illegal, y'all are acting like legality is the only measure of punitive to be punitive by your employer. We're exactly. talking about his employer.
You know these
the NBA is a privately owned company, right? I'm a massively privately owned company. And if you work for the privately owned company, no matter how big it is, no matter how legal you think something is, there are bylaws and guidelines at that right. company.
And
that
a company, code of conduct.
This, and a code of conduct. And this hugely multi-billion dollar company, privately owned,
right.
says that is not something we stand
for. And also, when you are a superstar, there's also like
max contract.
There's a corporate branding part of it too, which is when you are one of the faces of a company, which Ja Morant was quickly becoming for the NBA, the company has to look at how your behavior reflects their brand. I cannot send you to an NBA Cares event when you be brandishing on TikTok on the reg just to motherfucking do it. Like,
nigga, what are we talking about?
There is more to being part of an organization than dribbling the ball.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a family entertainment organization. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and especially with Ja, he did this shit 2 months ago.
Yeah, so if I wrote you up for something and you do the same shit, like, the NBA has corporate sponsors. The NBA, like, it's a lot in it. Like, his behavior is not just about Ja, it's licensed gun, he's not doing anything illegal. Yeah, but it's stupid.
It's still stupid.
And so, I don't know why we act like we don't know how jobs work when we talk about famous people. Like, it's still a job.
It's still a job. No matter how much
somebody else signs your check.
Exactly.
That is a job.
Exactly. So,
and they have the right to take that check away when they start wilding.
Exactly. I hope he gets it together. Sadly, I don't think he will, because I don't know who he goes to, because his dad didn't turn into his homeboy and he wanna be right. popping cloud chasing
everything. And my boyfriend said this, he was like, what if Ja is actually the bad influence? Because it's like his mans was trying to save him.
His man on the IG.
It's like Ja might be the problem.
Ja is the problem. Like, there's videos of him chugging Casamigos like it's water. Like, right. on a private plane, a club. Yeah. It's like, come on, bro. Like,
somebody mentioned Jason Williams, and that's the right cautionary tale. People keep trying to talk about Allen Iverson. I'm like, Allen wasn't being stupid once he got injured. Okay. He was doing shit like not wanting to come to practice and not
dressing the way, like, he wanted to dress.
That nigga wasn't doing this shit. And somebody mentioned Jason Williams. I was like, Jason Williams, that's the cautionary tale. I'd be forgetting Jason Williams even existed. That's the cautionary tale.
So, I mean, I hope he. Because I love him as a player, he's amazing. But like, come on, bro! Like, you wilding right now. So I just want to mention that. And maybe next time we'll get. We're gonna get Reagan Gomez on the show. It was too late to kind of call it for this time. Talk about the writer's strike. If it's not over, but even if it's over by then, I still want to get her on because she has a lot of insight, being this what she's worked in all the industry all her life. And
we fully support the writers over here.
We do.
Yeah,
we are pro WGA over here.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, because without the writers, you got nothing. So I hope they figure it out. And I just wanted to mention what was the one more thing I wanted to mention? Grimy Knight, just want to, maybe we'll get into that next time. Because that's a long topic. I'm going to hold Grimy Knight.
We need to talk about Brian. We need to talk about Brian and Neo next time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah, those are long topics. So we're next.
Real quick though, TV that is in its last season is incredible right now. Barry.
Last season. Barry is ridiculous.
Oh, it's Succession.
Succession. It's something else I'm watching. That's the last season. All like really,
yeah, they're going for it.
I'm so excited.
Did you start somebody somewhere yet?
I did.
It's good.
It's crazy. It's really good.
It's really, that's a really good show.
I feel like I may have watched that.
Yeah, it's a really good show. It's very quirky, but it's,
I'd be forgetting shows as soon as I finish watching.
Yeah, I'm logging into HBO Max like that. But since I started watching Barry this season, like.
I'm watching Love and Death too on HBO Max, which
that's on my list.
Yeah, that's dope. But somebody, KMG's friend of the show, she told me that Candy, which is on Hulu, because
it's the same thing. So I started.
She said Candy is better.
I started Love and Death, and then I was like, "Oh, this is Candy," so I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna watch Candy. So I'm gonna finish Love and Death, and then I'm gonna hit Candy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for this week. Got some stuff for next week. Hopefully bro will be around so he could do his rants.
We miss you, Sean.
We miss you, Sean. Yeah, and that's kind of, that's it. Y'all be safe out there. Get back outside. I'll take y'all advice and go slow.
Go slow.
Shout out to Lisa Bonner. I saw her last night at Market Spot too.
Oh, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. So just go slow.
Put sunscreen on the back of your neck. Don't be like me. Got a sunburn at the playground.
Oh yeah. My dermatologist told me to buy some sunscreen, so I'll be putting sunscreen on.
I put it on the front. I don't really think about like
the back, and then you got burned.
Burnt my shit.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Sunscreen, even though we're black, we need sunscreen. Believe it. Trust me.
This ain't the same sun that our ancestors were under. It seems closer somehow.
It's hot and hotter, you know. Hot. So that's it. We will see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.